Coming up on today's show.
I was coming into the class one time and I said to, "Hi, Joe, it's good to see you." And he looked me in the eye and he said, "Kristen, it's good to be seen." And that's what Jesus did. He saw and he believed in every person for their inner goodness.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I remember being a kid and having hockey cards, baseball cards, football cards, basketball cards. Wow, I wonder what happened to all of those. I know I still have, unopened, mind you, something that came out one year called Hockey Cards in a Can. When I say I still have them, I mean a whole box of sealed cans with hockey cards inside. Who could have guessed that the sports trading card industry would get to where it is today? An article from Yahoo Finance at the end of January estimated the trading cards market size at $13 billion for 2024. And yes, that's billion with a B, as in Bruce. The lengths that people go to for those, I think of prayer cards, mass cards, right? A lot of times you'll bring one home from a funeral mass. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people were that rabid for keepsakes of the saints? 7 weeks ago, on episode 334, Belinda Taro Mooney talked a lot about the saints, including praying to a saint on their feast day. 2 weeks ago, Sister Marie Cacciatore talked about Saint Irenaeus. Sometimes the closing prayer here on Catholic Sports Radio is Saint Sebastian's, the patron saint of athletes. My brothers and sisters in Christ, statistics and collectibles are great, but rather than chasing rookie cards, let's challenge ourselves to be that kind of fervent in our pursuit of the saints and being holy in our own daily lives. Read Revelations 8:3, which is essentially saying that the prayers of the saints rise up before God, and then God acts on earth. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has served as the program director for Play Like a Champion Today since its inception. Since 2006, the program has served over 160,000 coaches and parents through a network of 280-plus partners across the United States and Canada. As a student athlete, she was a gymnast from youth through high school, and then, attending the University of Notre Dame as a theology major, she was a varsity athlete on the cheerleading team and now is a certified yoga instructor. On the faith side, she has worked with the Archdiocese of Detroit and has attended both the 2015 and 2022 Vatican Conference, including leading a panel at the latter. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Kristen Sheehan.
Thank you, Bruce. It's lovely to be here.
Likewise, this is wonderful to do one of these in person. Very rare for me.
That's what I was thinking. It's a pleasure because we get to feed off each other in real time, sitting right next to each other. And of course, Catholics, we're about communing together, and that's where we get stronger and
Amen.
Grow.
Yeah, well said. Well said. We've been long overdue to do this, so let's just get started by having you tell us where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
I was born in Munster, Indiana, which is Northwest Indiana. Really kind of a suburb of Chicago. Five in my family, two parents and an older brother, older sister, and I'm the youngest.
Okay. Okay. And you are a cradle Catholic, but take us back to your childhood household and what the faith life looked like in your family when you were just a young girl.
Well, we were true Catholics every Sunday at Mass. Sometimes struggled to get there on time, but we we were always there. And I went to St. Thomas More grade school. There was no kindergarten in the grade schools then. We now have pre-K even. First grade through eighth grade. And our faith was very strong. And one really critical lesson that I really remember from my mom in particular, it was a Sunday afternoon, and I was a cheerleader, and there was a basketball game. And after the basketball game, some of the parents organized a pizza party for the basketball team and the cheerleaders. And I was so excited. You know, that wasn't something that we normally got to do. And my mom said, "Oh, you can't go because we didn't go to Mass yet. We've got to go to 5 p.m. Mass."
Oh, no.
And I was kind of throwing a fit. And she said, "You want to go to Mass? You know that that's important." And I thought to myself, "Yeah, I think it is." And then I said, "Okay, Mom." And then she said, "You know what? Offer it up."
Wow.
And that comes back to me so many times when we are in a difficult situation and we need to do something that we know we need to do it, but it's difficult. Offer it up and God will help us get through it. The other thing I remember about my childhood very vividly is my dad would, when I was a little girl, he would carry me to bed and he would kneel down next to my bed and we would say our prayers together. The traditional prayers, Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, and Angel of God. And those were such powerful memories to be put to sleep in such a safe, loving space in prayer.
But, you know, look at how impactful what your mom said was to you, that it's all these years later and you're still hanging on to that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So clearly in that moment, she was being in the moment, but she was also planting seeds that this is an important message that you really got to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. So critical. And that's what we, as Catholic parents, hopefully we do sow those seeds in our children.
Wow.
And they'll remember them like I have remembered that.
Mm. Fantastic. Switching over to sports. I love that you were a gymnast. We don't get enough of that on this show. It does make me think way back to episode 88 of this show when my guest was Olympic gymnast Dominique Dawes. I don't want to reveal your age, but who knows? Maybe you were watching Dominique compete in the summer games. Tell us, Kristen, what moved you to participate in sports and gymnastics specifically?
So my family, they were all swimmers. And so I was on the swim team and I did okay at 8 and under. And then when I got to be 9, it was 9 and 10 year old category. And I just got creamed. I'm very small. You don't play sports or you don't participate in sports for the outcome, but it can get a little discouraging if you're always last. And I was also in gymnastics at the time. And I said to my mom and dad, I said, "I'm better at gymnastics. I think my body type is more suited for that." And I said, "You know, can I just do gymnastics?" And they said, "Sure." You know, they gave me that choice. And that's when I went full speed into gymnastics.
But how did gymnastics get on your radar in the first place to say, "Can I do gymnastics instead? My body's better suited."
It was a town rec program, Parks and Rec. And there was a brother and a sister, and they set up in the high school gym few mats and a beam, and they did it as Parks and Rec, you know. So my mom just signed me up for, you know, a basic entry course. And then, you know, when I was good at it, she found a gym actually for me to go to.
But when you were telling the story before about what your mom said that was impactful, "We haven't gone to Mass yet," you were talking about cheerleading. So I'm just a little confused because I convinced myself leading up to today that you started cheerleading in college. So you were doing it before college?
I did, yes. So I was a gymnast as a child through high school, and I also was a cheerleader. You know, my St. Thomas More grade school, you cheer for the basketball team. another story about my mom, I said to her, "I want to try out for cheerleading, Mom," in fifth grade. And she said, "Oh, you don't want to cheer for some boys. You want to do your own sport. And I said, Mom, cheerleading is a sport. And I had to convince her because she wasn't going to let me try out because she wanted me to have my own sport. Yeah. I've convinced her, and she became a huge believer in cheerleading as a sport.
Well, sure, because if you think of the athleticism, if you think of why are there practices, why is there a fitness regimen if it's not a sport?
That's right. And then in high school, then I was a cheerleader for the football team in the fall. Gymnastics was a winter sport. So as soon as that season was over, our training started in November for gymnastics. So I was able to do both.
Perfect. I think for those of us who are Catholic, as soon as we hear that someone went to Notre Dame, the knee jerk is to say, oh, well, clearly a faith-driven decision. Was that, in fact, the case for you? I'm guessing yes, since you went there to major in theology. But as you're answering that, talk about the transition, too, from gymnastics to cheerleading, because I don't think that you did gymnastics anymore once you got to Notre Dame.
Right. Like so many high school athletes, you get burned out. After high school sports, it can be a grind and there can be a lot of pressure. And I was definitely done competing in gymnastics, but I grew up loving Notre Dame. My dad's a 1959 graduate. My older brother and my sister went to Notre Dame. And I definitely desired to go there from the time I was a little girl. Wow. I told my dad that I want to cheer at Notre Dame.
Wow.
And so that was a goal of mine as a small child that I was able to achieve. Being a gymnast definitely helped in my quest and tryout to become a cheerleader because, you know, I was used to being airborne. And that's sometimes fearful for some people if they've not done the stunting and the pyramids yet. And of course, tumbling was a really helpful skill to be able to have to make the team.
But because your dad had gone there and because I think you said your sister had gone there, was there a common thread woven throughout all that, though, that was the Catholic faith? I mean, like I said, you did go there for theology.
Yes, I hate to put it like this, but there is football and faith, right, Bruce? We got to go to, as kids, we got to go to one game, one football game a fall, and we always completed that football game with Mass. So it was a football game and it was Mass. And I remember so much as a child stretching across the aisle when it was time to say the Our Father. And that was the first place I'd been where they would move out of the pews and hold hands. So the whole church was embraced in hands and they would sing the Our Father. And that was powerful for me. I remember that it, you know, I think I should reverse it, faith and football. But they kind of went together for me in Notre Dame.
Well, there's a lot that I want to talk about relative to Play Like a Champion today. But fill in the gap first as far as finishing college and doing some spirit-led initiatives, such as working with the Women's Care Center, a crisis pregnancy center, and then working with the Archdiocese of Detroit. It would seem as though you were following some sort of path, dare I say, some sort of call to be in ministry.
Absolutely. So the Women's Care Center is a crisis pregnancy center, and they help women who are in unexpected pregnancies to see their pregnancy to term. And they help them with parenting classes, with materials for their child, if they're going to keep the baby, counseling, ultrasounds, anything that that woman is going to need to walk with her so she can be in a place that she's able to have her baby. They started in South Bend, Indiana, and they now have many in the 20s now all across the country. And the model is astounding. It's really an effective model to accompany the woman through the experience. So I learned about them as a college student, and they were seeking volunteers. So I went through a weekend volunteer training and then worked for them for the summer before my senior year and was offered a full-time position upon my graduation. And I did work there for a full year, went back to graduate school and worked part-time while I was in graduate school with them. And then my husband, we got married right out of my graduation, and he got a job in the Detroit area. So that took me to the Archdiocese of Detroit in the same field. It was the associate director of the Office of Life and Dignity. And my main responsibility at the Archdiocese of Detroit in that role was to prepare a Project Rachel program. Project Rachel is a post-abortion support group. So Rachel cries for her children, and women come together when they've had this type of experience, and they heal and they find God's forgiveness and love. And that it's often an experience that people feel this is the unforgivable sin. Mm. And so this support group walks with the women together to say, God loves you and God is with you always.
Beautiful. And audience, as you're going to hear, it's no coincidence that Kristen was a theology major, that she went and did the work that you just heard about with the Women's Care Center, that she ended up Archdiocese of Detroit, because we're going to hear a lot about Play Like a Champion today. And it is very much just like my ministry. It is very much faith in sports. Friends, I want you to think back to the way that I asked Kristen that question. Yes, I realize that you can be an accountant, you can be a home builder, you can be a dentist, and feel you're working for the Lord, right? I said that it seemed like she was following some sort of call to be in ministry. In fact, you've heard me say this before, but with Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you can manage your money from your phone anytime, anywhere. Their mobile app allows you to add accounts, move money as needed, and deposit checks. You can pay others with Zelle and use Apple Pay or Google Pay to securely make payments on the go. Safe, secure, Catholic. Can your bank say that? Visit AllianceCatholic.com and put your money where your faith is. Federally insured by NCUA. And be sure to tell them that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. By the way, friends, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I am going to put a link to the Play Like a Champion Today website so you can learn even more about the program, even though Kristen is going to tell us about it in her own words. But it has been around for 20 years, and we cannot possibly cover that much in the time that we do have here on Catholic Sports Radio. So please look at their website. 3 weeks ago was my interview with the college athlete, Sophie Risk, who had just won her second straight NCAA Women's Lacrosse Championship. And we did it in a podcast studio in Tampa, where I got to come away with a video version. Even though Kristen Sheehan and I are sitting together to record this week's, I do not have the facilities for us to do video. Being on location in Waco, Texas today means that I also would have had to have had a budget to pay someone to come here and film this for me, and that is just not something that I can justify, not to mention the additional post-production work that then is required to edit together something like that. I'm hopeful that my presence here at the 4th Global Congress on Sport and Christianity will be beneficial to Catholic Sports Radio. And I'm sorry to have to say, help justify all the money it took for me to be able to be here. Remember that this is neither my full nor my part-time job, and I don't get any income from doing this show, which means I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover any and all expenses associated with running Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. I am optimistic, though, that you see value in what I'm doing each week. You like the show. You believe in this ministry. It's helping your faith life. And that you wish to show your support, send your thanks, help me with the financial challenges I face in operating this ministry. I ask you to prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, you can utilize the blue Donate to CSR button. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people do not like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks. Or as some have directed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Kristen, you were talking about entering the professional world after having graduated from college, but tell us about getting in with Play Like a Champion Today 20 years ago at its inception.
That is a story that is, you know, there's no coincidences. There's God incidents. And that's how I became involved with Play Like a Champion. So my husband and I had just moved back to South Bend, Indiana. Mm. And we were sitting on our boxes in our new family room. One of my Notre Dame roommates was in for the football game. And the football game is over. We're eating pizza, sitting on boxes. She says, "Kristen, what are you going to do now? You're back in South Bend." I said, "You know what? My youngest child, Danny, is in all-day kindergarten. I'm going to walk over to campus, and I'm going to see what I can do for Notre Dame." And she said, "You know, my niece just graduated, and she was doing an internship with a professor who just started a sports program. And I think he needs help because it's just him." Wow. And I said, "Oh, well, who's the professor?" She said, "Dr. Clark Power." And I was like, "I know Clark." So Clark and Ann Power did my husband and my marriage prep. We got engaged and did our pre-Cana through Notre Dame's campus ministry. And we were assigned as a host couple to the Powers. So we would go over, you know, for like 8 Sundays in a row before we got married and just talked about marriage. Mm. And it was like, you know, such a special intimate friendship, right, that you have with a host couple. So I called Clark on Monday and I said, "Clark, I hear you're doing something with sports." He said, Kristen, come over. I want to tell you about it." And we've been working together ever since.
Oh my gosh. There's so much in that story that only God's hand could have ordered that the way it is. And, you know, the way that you told that story, it was as though this just happened last week, Sunday. So the point I'm making is that that obviously has made such a huge impact on your life, on the last 20 years of your life, that it's not unlike the story from the beginning of the show with your mom and that message that she gave to you that Sunday. And here's this connection that was made for a reason that you're able to call him up and he says, "Come on over."
It was really such an incredible blessing.
Fantastic. One of the many cool things that you have gotten to do through Play Like a Champion today is a mission trip to Uganda. I'm going to say why, when in reality, what I actually mean is, what did that consist of, and how does Play Like a Champion today end up in Uganda, of all places?
So there was a lacrosse coach at Notre Dame who was also in athletic administration, and he had a passion and had gone to Uganda to teach children in the villages lacrosse. And so he became a friend of ours and he said, "You should come. You know, we should do some character things as well, in addition to the physical sport." And so we went over to Uganda, and then the next year we took Notre Dame students with us, and it was a credit course. So we went twice, and then, you know, it was a beautiful experience. And but as you just alluded to, it costs a lot of money. And so the funding, it's difficult to maintain that. And there's so much need here in the United States around what we're doing. So we decided to leave it at those two trips.
So explain to the audience who doesn't know, and you know, you and I are too close to it, you especially, there's people that don't know what Play Like a Champion today is, even though it's been around for 20 years. Explain what it is, but then also exactly what you just started to allude to, because the things that I would think of if I'm listening to this interview is not only what is Play Like a Champion today, but yeah, that's a good question that Bruce asked. Why did they go international? Do they just serve in the United States? Do they just serve in the Indiana area? But more importantly, well, let me have you answer those before I hit you with 9 questions and you go, "I remember the first two."
Right. So what is Play Like a Champion today?
Yeah.
I'm going to take you back to Dr. Clark Power. He was coaching his kids at Holy Cross Grade School in South Bend, Indiana. And he noticed behaviors that really surprised him. He had a 5th grade girls basketball coach who had 15 girls on the bench, and he played 5 girls the entire game, never substituted. And Clark is like, "What is going on here? This is 5th grade. These are 10-year-olds. This is not the NBA." And then he had to break up a fight in the stands one Sunday afternoon between a couple of parents. And he thought, okay, is this just Holy Cross in South Bend, or is this something that's going on? So he did what professors like to do. He did a research study and he published it. It was called Youth Sport Behavior. And the subtitle was The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. And it detailed, like, we think that sports builds character, but there's no direct research that shows it builds good character. In fact, it really depends on the environment and what is modeled in the environment. And sometimes kids are learning poor lessons. And so Clark said, we know sports can and should be good. So I'm an educator. Let's create an educational series that ensures the goodness of sport, ensures that kids are growing as better people while they learn basketball. And so that was the birth of Play Like a Champion in June of 2006. We always have a conference every June, and that kicked off the whole ministry in June of 06. I came on board in November of 06. It started with just a youth coach clinic. Mm-hmm. And Clark never really thought he'd go beyond that. But as soon as we talked to the youth coaches, they said, you got to talk to the parents. They create the environment too. So that was one of my first tasks, was to prepare a parent workshop, which we do have, called Parent Like a Champion. And then high school started calling and they said, we want you at the high school level too. So we elevated the clinic to be for a professional coach, a high school coach. And then we've added some educational components each year that our partners find this is something they would like.
So it grew from South Bend, Indiana, to let's say statewide, and all of a sudden it starts going across the country. In the intro, I mentioned Canada. You just told the story about Uganda. But the other question I was going to ask you when I said this is going to turn into too long a list of questions is, you can serve non-Catholics.
Absolutely.
Because I'm picturing the audience member who's going, wait a minute, they went to Uganda. Is there a rampant Catholicism in Uganda? And I'm sure you're here to say, it doesn't matter. There are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're going to bring the good news to them, and we're not going to hit them over the head and say, but you have to be Catholic, though.
That's so true. And we work in public schools as well, or non-Catholic leagues. We call our Catholic programming Coaching as Ministry, and we call our program where it is non-faith-based Coaching for Character. So it's very, very similar in nature, but we just don't talk about ministry, and we don't quote Pope Francis and now Pope Leo, who said a few things about sport. Don't you love that?
I do. Well, an audience, as I said, there's so much more to this. We just don't have the time, unfortunately, but Kristen has kind of pulled back the curtain a little bit, but I really encourage you to go to their website to learn more about them, because there's a few other things that I want to ask her that are not necessarily Play Like a Champion Today related. Kristen, I'm interested to hear about this heart that you have for prison ministry work. Specifically, you are a yoga instructor at Westville Correctional Facility, and you volunteer with Sacred Heart Parish at Dismas House for the formerly incarcerated.
Right. So a friend of mine was at Notre Dame for a year doing a certificate program, and she is a yoga instructor, and she began teaching yoga at Westville. And she said, I really feel badly because I've started this, and it's a good space to be, and I'm going to be gone in a year. And so I thought, well, you know, I might be able to do that. So that inspired me to get certified and kind of take over for my friend Joanna. The program is part of Westville, is part of Holy Cross College, Moreau College Initiative. So Holy Cross College is across the street from Notre Dame, and they have, you can go to Holy Cross in prison, and they have an associate's degree and a bachelor's degree. So the men who are part of this program, they try to make it as much like college as possible. So they have clubs, they have a garden club, they have yoga club, they have music club, and they have art club. And so I lead the yoga club, and it's a space where, you know, you find God in your breath. And when I teach, I very much am able to use, if it doesn't offend anybody in the room, spiritual language that, you know, God is in your breath, God is in your movement. It helps to regulate, to manage your emotions in slowing the breath down and in the postures and the poses.
But I want to go into something that you just said. I can use spiritual language if it doesn't offend anyone in the room. I think there's a teaching moment there for all of us. Do you literally say that? Do you say, I'd like to use some spiritual language if it doesn't offend anyone in the room? Because I think there's people out there in the audience hearing our interview that would like to come out of their shell, but are afraid of that exact thing. Of the day I do it, I'm going to finally step out in holy boldness, as Bruce always says, and I'm going to get criticized. I'm going to get backlash. So what are the logistics of that? Do you stand up there every single time you start a session and say, this is what I want to do?
Well, the men sign up for the club. So I meet them the first time. A lot of them stop coming because it's a different space, right? You have to be comfortable in the space. Yeah. And so we talk. We always do a check-in at the beginning. Where are you today? Where are you in this space? And so you get to know them very well. You know, I'm also leading this as part of a Catholic college. Mm-hmm. And so that opens up the opportunity for that spirituality as well.
So they do understand that. They understand that you're coming from a Catholic perspective and not just a yoga perspective.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's important so that they understand kind of the environment that they're walking into.
Yes. And so Dismas is Saint Dismas is a saint of formerly incarcerated folks. And there's a Dismas house in South Bend. Our parish volunteers there. And so we go and we bring dinner and we eat with the residents at Dismas once a month. And to be formerly incarcerated and to re-enter society is a task. Mm-hmm. And you're sometimes looked at suspiciously. People might be scared of you. And to help people re-enter our society and stay as an engaged citizen is a really powerful thing to do. And so we really enjoy going there, talking with the residents. We've since, one of the residents, she graduated from the program and we've had her over to our house for dinner. So you accompany, I've used that word before with the Women's Care Center, but you accompany these people as they reenter and want to be part of our society again.
Yeah. And isn't that what we're called to? Because if you think of, you know, Jesus and who he would minister to and the fact that we're called to the imprisoned, the marginalized, the cast out, the sinners, the prostitutes, the list goes on. And so that work is so important, especially because of what you just said, when someone is ready and the last thing they need is to be labeled or to have someone's back turned on them. You know, when did I do this to you, Jesus, right? When I was in prison, did you visit me? When I was sick, did you heal me, et cetera, et cetera. So it's so important. And I'm glad that we got to talk about this because you look around at Mass on Sunday and you don't know what everybody's situation is. And that might be someone's first time coming back in, you know, and the last thing they need to see is heads turning and whispering to their neighbor.
That's right. And I just want to tell a story. I was coming into the class one time and I said to, "Hi, Joe, it's good to see you." And he looked me in the eye and he said, "Kristen, it's good to be seen."
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus did. He saw and he believed in every person for their inner goodness.
I'm getting emotional. Let's combine two questions into one. Talk about your time here in Waco at the 4th Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, but then also the two Vatican conferences that you've attended. Wow.
Right. So I'm excited for this conference and all the people and the friends that I've made over the years through, you know, Catholic Sports Network, and excited to be part of a keynote panel with Tracy Trothorn and also John White, talking about embodiment and whole health through sport. And the Vatican has an office for sport. It's in the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life. And they have had some international summits. And I did have the first opportunity to go to Rome with Clark Power, Dr. Power, in 2015, where they held a conference called Coaches, Educating People. And the charge from that conference was Pope Francis's a letter or address to the group was that educators must be educators. We must invest in coach training. We must form our formators. We must train our coaches. And so that was big for us because that's what we do.
Yeah.
And so we were answering Pope Francis's plea because he said sport can be a missionary tool, but sport has to be run in sync with the Christian community. And he also says that if it isn't run in sync, it's better not to have a sports program. And so what we're doing is walking with CYOs and schools to help them to run in sync with Christian values. And then the last conference I was in was September of 2022. Mm-hmm. And that was called Sport for All. And that I wanted to just share we are an educational program for coaches, sport parents, and athletes, but we also work in a consultancy role in neighborhoods of concentrated poverty to increase opportunities for all children to play sports, not just those whose families can afford it. And so sport for all means something very powerful for Play Like a Champion. Mm. We believe it's a child's right to play sports, and the sport industry is a $40 billion industry annually. And when did we decide we should monetize child's play and say some of you can't play because you can't afford it? That is a social injustice. It's a moral injustice. And so we say that every child should be playing and have a team to call their own, because it's in that team experience that we find good relationships. We find a coach who's a trusted mentor who cares about us, often like a parent figure. And so we really work in that space to create sport for all.
Fantastic. As we get set to wind down, you've made a couple mentions here and there, but let's close by having you share about your husband, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Oh, thank you. This brings the biggest smile to my face.
It's usually everyone's favorite question to answer, so yes. It's kind of saving the best for last.
I love that. Thank you, Bruce. So I met my husband at Notre Dame because he was a cheerleader. Nah. And I saw him in the library on a Wednesday afternoon, and he had his jacket, Irish cheerleader. And I told you, I wanted as a little child to be a cheerleader. So I was looking at him, and his friend who was with him said, "That girl's looking at you." And he turned around and he caught me staring at him. And I was like, "Oh no." It led to a marriage.
Amazing.
And so we talked, and I said, "I want to try out." And he said, "Well, great. You know, I'll introduce you to some of the team." And we went on our first date to lunch a couple days later, and I said to him, "Would you like to go to Mass first? Because there's 11:30 daily Mass at the Basilica on campus, and I would often go to that before lunch." And he said, "I'd love to go to Mass." So our first date was actually Mass and then lunch, and we got married in September of 1990, so we will be married 35 years.
Wow.
This September.
Fantastic.
We have three children, Shannon, Jack, and Danny. Shannon and Jack are both Notre Dame graduates. Mm. And Jack was the Notre Dame leprechaun when he was at Notre Dame. So we say, you know, two cheerleaders married, they might have a leprechaun. and our baby, Danny's not so much of a baby. He's almost 25. He is a DePauw University graduate. DePauw is near Indianapolis. It's a private Division III school. And Danny wanted to play baseball in college. And that was the level where he fit most appropriately. And so he played baseball and football at DePauw for 4 years, had a great time. We love
so
that
cool.
University as much as we love Notre Dame.
So cool. Oh, this has been great, Kristen. I'm so glad we finally got to do this. I appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
God bless you, Bruce. Thanks for your ministry.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, let's close with our sportsman's prayer and do it together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.